turn us on, turn us off. Well, good morning. Just to say it again, my name's Jonathan, and my wife's name is Kayla, and we're really honored and privileged to be here this morning. Our youngest is coming in the door currently, so some of that fun is going to get spread around the congregation. Yeah. No, I wanted to say, I was going to joke around a little bit about that, too. We basically invaded their house last night with all four of our kids, and they're kind of out of their normal routine. But I just wanted to say thank you to them in front of everybody for hosting us. Thank you to y'all for hosting us. They put us up last night. They gave us some really good pizza. And then they fed us breakfast this morning. It was really, really a nice, sweet time to catch up. It had been years, I think, since we had seen them. So that said, we are here this morning. We are missionaries in North Macedonia, and don't worry if you don't know where that is. We will tell you in a little bit. We'll find it on the map for you. But we're really privileged to be here. We're here only until the end of January in the States, and then we'll fly back. We just had a quick trip this time around. It was 2 months here in the States. So in December, we were in Northeast Georgia with my family, and that's where most of our kind of friend group is. That's where our home church is. So we spent some time there in December. Spent Christmas with my family, which was really fun. And then we went up to Virginia, Blacksburg, Virginia, which is where Kayla's family is. And she's got a really big family. She's got six siblings. And we had a great time at this old kind of Civil War era farmhouse. They've got a blueberry farm there, go figure. And I was looking for blueberries on the bushes, but I guess they grow in the summer or something like that. Anyway, it was a good time up there, and we're about to head back. So keep us in your prayers, and thanks for hearing us out this morning. Here are some pictures of North Macedonia. I'll let Kayla introduce you to some of these.
Okay. All right. So we have a couple pictures just from around. Our country is really small. On the top right there, that's the city where we live. That's Skopje. You can see up on the mountain. It's kind of tiny in that picture, but there's a cross that overlooks the mountain. So if we're ever on a trip, we come back, the kids see the cross and they know we're home. It lights up at night. It's pretty cool. The really odd looking building in the middle of that is a post office. We have a lot of these interesting concrete buildings because these are like Yugoslav era buildings. You have a couple churches here. This one in the bottom right is a really famous church overlooking a lake that's in the south of Macedonia.
Beautiful, right?
Yeah, it's really beautiful. These are Orthodox churches. And then this is just a vineyard over on the left side. There's a lot of kind of wine-producing country in the middle of Macedonia.
So just to give you an idea of what it kind of looks like, well, again, we'll show it to you on the map in a minute, but we love to hike in this country. It's just beautiful. It's 70% mountainous, and so everywhere you look in the winter, it's snow-capped mountains. I mean, part of the Alps actually come through our country, and we love to take hikes up in this is kind of an open area. We'll take the kids, and we just get away from the city. The city we live in has about a million people, so it is big. But it's kind of one of these European-style cities where once you've left the city, you're kind of in the middle of nowhere all of a sudden. And we can kind of escape for less than a 30-minute drive. We're in the middle of kind of that top right corner. That's our view, and it's just really, really pretty. Here's us in the city center. Here's our youngest, Silas, to the bottom left-hand corner. And then we were headed somewhere, and the kids were pumped out of their minds. So I snapped a photo of that, and that's all the four of them. We have three boys, one girl. The oldest is Ezra. He's 9. Then we have Arlo, he's 8. Then Nora is in the background, she's just turned 7. And Silas is 3.5 right now. So I'll tell you what, we were saying boom, boom, boom for a while because they were real close together. But I don't know what happens when you have 4, you just drop that. But we've been in Macedonia for 6 years, and those early years, I don't even remember some things that happened. It's just a haze. It was pretty intense. Here's some kind of cool Macedonian architecture from the 19th century. You don't see too much of that, but there is some of that left over, which is cool. Next slide, please. Oh, and now, we're not going to be Zoltan. That was amazing, by the way. Thank you for the worship this morning. I really was blessed personally by that. But we are going to make an attempt at singing our favorite Macedonian song that we've heard. We sing this fairly often in our church, probably once a month. And it speaks to us at a deep level because the words have to do with leaning on God for our lives, and that he gives us strength. The main word is, please, God, give me strength every day, which for us, when we were there, I'm going to get choked up. When our first few years were really, really hard, especially, we had to lean on him for every little bit of strength. Everything you know about your culture just goes out the window. You don't understand what people are saying. He gives us strength. He gave us strength. So I'm going to sort of sing this for y'all. Yeah, oh yeah, and you'll see two different scripts here. On the left, we would call this the Cyrillic script, so that you might be familiar with this from Russian. There's some other countries that use it as well. So that's on the left-hand side. That's what you would typically see written, but occasionally they will also transliterate it into, like, Latin letters. So that's just for you to kind of follow along as well, to hear the sounds. Se gojden te molam tebe, o Bože moj, sila mi daj. Ti si toj na koj se nadevam, Bože moj, sila mi daj. Sila mi daj, sila mi daj, sila mi daj za ovoj den. Sila mi daj, sila mi daj, sila mi daj za ovoj den. Se gojden te molam tebe, o Bože moj, sila mi daj. Ti si toj na koj se nadevam, Bože moj, sila mi daj. Sila mi daj, sila mi daj, sila mi daj za ovoj den. Sila mi daj, sila mi daj, sila mi daj za ovoj den. Thanks for singing along. I heard you guys singing. Thanks. You can see why we like that song, too. It repeats a lot. So when you're a new missionary on the field, you got to look for these songs, man. Simple words. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Thanks for playing that, Kayla. All right, next slide, guys, if you can. Thanks. You want to talk about this one?
Sure. All right, so Macedonia is located just north of Greece. So in this top map, you can actually see Yugoslavia. Before it was divided into separate countries. So that was from 91, Macedonia has been its own country. And Macedonia is the size of Vermont, but there's more people in Vermont, like a lot more people in Vermont. So it's very small. You can see on the bottom left here, Skopje is our city. It's not Skopje, it's Skopje. So we're kind of up in the north, and there's, like he said, there's about 1 million people in Skopje, and then there's about 1 million in the rest of the country. So once you get outside of Skopje, it gets pretty rural. There's a few other cities, but nothing anywhere near the size of Skopje. Partly because it is like 70% mountainous. So you still have little villages up in the mountain where there might be like 20 people living. It gets just really, really rural, really fast. We would say like in Skopje, we might be like a second world country, but then out in the villages, you could definitely call it a third world country.
Most of the time, they would have things like running water and power, but occasionally...
Not necessarily, yeah.
High mountains, and they'll have their groceries brought in into the truck. That's kind of how they live, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, and there was something else I was going to say, and I've lost it.
This is kind of a 3D image of our city over to the right-hand side, so you can see it's just like an animated cartoon version of it. But there's a nice river that flows through town. We live closer to the mountains, so in that kind of dark red area right there, pretty close to the city center. think right here we're actually going to talk. You can stay on this slide for one more second. We were going to tell you about what the demographics are in the country. So in terms of ethnicity, it's about 60, some people think 70% ethnic Macedonians. So these would be like Slavic-speaking Macedonians. Closest relatives to them would be Bulgarians, Serbians as well. These are people that came into Europe in like the 8th and 9th centuries AD. So they've been there for quite a long time. But you also have about 30, 40%, depends on who you talk to, and the censuses aren't always accurate, but about 40% Albanian Muslims also, and they are divided across ethnic lines and religious lines, and they tend to stay in different parts of the city, different parts of the country. Interestingly, even within our own country, if you go to an Albanian city where there are more Albanians, they'll fly the Albanian flag. They speak entirely Albanian there. A lot of Albanians don't even learn Macedonian, so there's quite a big division. Interestingly, too, before we move on, there's a really big Roma. A lot of people would think of them as gypsy. Roma population, one of the biggest Roma populations in Europe, is in our capital city, Skopje. They actually have a governor over their part of the town that's kind of, so it's a fully kind of Roma-run part of town. We love visiting, and that really does get third world out there. Your car can fall into a hole and never come back out sort of thing. And so it's intense, but we have some good friends of ours who go to our church who are Roma, and we love them to death. They're really warm people.
Well, and I would say with the different ethnicities, the only place we've seen like all three of those ethnic groups like together is in the church. And so it is a special thing for us to be able to go to even our little church and have Roma believers with us, because the cultures, they don't mix much except in the body of Christ. Okay, so we've been in Macedonia now, what, 6.5 years? So, of course, one of the first things we needed to spend time doing was learning the language. I was home at that point with, what, we have a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a baby. So I progressed slower than him.
Sorry.
But but we've learned, and this is our second son on the right learning. Our older two can now write in cursive Macedonia, which is another step for us that's difficult to read. But here you have a couple phrases to learn. So, zdravo means hello.
All right, so I'll say it, and you guys can repeat. Zdravo. Nice job. Mm. And then if you want to say the kind of the polite thank you, you would say, fala vi.
Fala vi. But Macedonians don't really say that. Actually, if you say thank you, you're outing yourself as a foreigner.
Yeah, they're not, it's not a thank you culture, but I still like to say it because I'm from the South. And this is something you say all the time. So if you want coffee, you have to say "moja kafe."
Moja kafe.
Moja kafe.
That's important.
So that's a nice one.
Yeah. And then here in the bottom left, you have the first few verses of the Gospel of John in the Macedonian Bible. There's not a modern translation. Macedonians have told us basically the translation of the Bible they have. The language is about as similar to what they currently speak now as like Shakespeare would be to us. So it feels pretty archaic, but there is a translation. And yeah, and so this is Kirill and Methody, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so these are, they would have come from Greece as missionaries to Macedonia, and they developed the Cyrillic alphabet in order to translate the Bible. So that's kind of a cool history.
And I'm going to read to you these first four verses in Macedonian. So here we go. This is, again, the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Vopočetak beše slovoto, i slovoto beše vo Boga, i Bog beše slovoto. To vopočetak beše vo Boga. Se stano preko Nego, i bez Nego ništo ne stana, što stana. Vo Nego imaše život, i životot im beše svetlina na ljudjeta. So, that's pretty cool. I love hearing it. It's a beautiful language to me. It took a little while to get used to some of the sounds and stuff, but it's a neat thing. So that's some of the language. We'll go to the next slide. Thanks, guys. So, yeah, you know, you got to find yourself on the map. We didn't know where North Macedonia was when we got assigned there at first. And then you got to step in. You got to learn some language. And the biggest thing and the thing that does take the most time, in my opinion, is adapting to culture. It's hard. It's harder. You know, you go for a short stay somewhere, and it's honeymoon period is what we call it. That can last up to about 6 to 8 months. and you think, oh, this is great, life is so good, this is, the food is so amazing, and that is true, all those things are true, but that does wear off after a while, and if things get hard, life is hard, we all know that, and as a foreigners, we're never fully in, we'll never be fully in, we're never going to be fully Macedonian, and neither do we want to give up our American selves. So this is hard, but we're going to show you some of the things we love about Macedonia. And number one, as you can see, is food. Food is everywhere. Food is good. They do a lot of this kind of like cheese pastry stuff with multiple like kind of layers of pastry and then unique cheese, something you don't really get over here. They call it sirenje, which is kind of similar to a feta, not quite as sharp tasting. It's really, really good. But you can't find it here. I've looked for it, except in some kind of special grocery stores. They do a lot of soups. We love their soup. And then there's some different things here in the bottom left. You want to talk about those in the bottom left?
Yeah, so in the fall, right in the city, everybody's cooking in these giant, like seriously giant pots over an open fire, these kind of vegetable paste spreads. So this one, this orange one would be called ivar, and that's what everybody mostly is making. And they're roasting red peppers. They're stirring and stirring for hours. Some of our friends actually attached, like, the paddle they were stirring with to the electric drill to, like, save their arms because it's, like, yeah. But everybody makes that, and we, like, we get it as gifts all the time. We never need to buy ivar. But that's kind of, like, classic. Like, our kids consider that, like, the best snack is just, like, bread with ivar on top of it. Yeah. And here's, in this picture then, is our two oldest at, like, the soccer stadium in Macedonia. So we've gotten to go to a few games. And actually, when the Macedonian team plays, like, internationally, it's really fun to play. So they actually played England not long ago, and we got to go, which was super cool. Our kids are big soccer fans. So our boys stood up and sang the Macedonian national anthem and then proceeded to cheer for England because that's the football players they actually know. So
yeah.
It was a little embarrassing, but.
And then some of the harder things, obviously, that took a while to get used to and still can kind of rub me the wrong way, and I have to get over that kind of natural self inside of me. We say that Americans tend to be more, not across the board, but tend to be more like peaches, and Macedonians and Slavs in general tend to be more like coconuts because we are very warm and fuzzy on the outside. We tend to be more like that, but to really get into that core self and be a true friend to somebody takes time, right? For us, I don't just have a ton of really, really close friends. Macedonians are the complete opposite. They are very externally rough. They will not talk to strangers unless they have to. They can be quite rude to people. But once you're in, they're very warm, very loving, and we have some really good friends. And once you're in for life. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So that takes some time. And still to this, I was reminded of this because I was shopping in Walmart the other day. And now this is in Georgia, so it might be a little different, but I was passing a lady, and she was all the way over by that bush, and she said, excuse me. And I thought, excuse you, you're not anywhere near me. Whereas a Macedonian could cut me off just like this and never say a word and kind of, so different worlds. That was a little culture shock for me, but it's a different world. They can be hard to get to know at times, but once you're in, which is cool. Next slide, guys. So part of what we're trying to do when we are adapting to culture and getting used to living there is building relationships. This is what we are doing as missionaries, obviously. A lot of how this happens takes place over coffee. Again, this is, we're going back to that, can I get a cup of coffee? We can sit with people. You can go into a restaurant or a cafe, order a single cup of coffee that costs about, in Macedonian money, maybe a couple dollars. About this big because it's espresso usually or something like that. It's really good, but you can sit there and take up a spot in this cafe or restaurant for 3 or 4 hours if you wanted to. No one's going to come along and push you out. That's your spot, and you can just sit and talk to people. And you'll see up here in the top right-hand corner, this is like an 11 o'clock coffee time. Businesses will kind of just empty. Workers will go out, and they'll all get coffee together for a while, 30 minutes, something like that. It's kind of an understood break time in their culture, and people just have coffee to walk out. There's these cafes everywhere, and it's a great time to meet people. It's a great time to see what everybody's up to that's there. And, so a lot of what our life looks like is drinking coffee. I've had coffee marathons where it's, you know, 5 or 6 guys in a day I'm meeting. It's just like, ooh, I'm kind of shaking. I'll have water, actually.
Yeah, so in this bottom picture, you also have just kind of getting together over food. One of the ways that we've gotten to know, like, even particular families is through their kind of family feast days in the Orthodox Church. Each family might have a kind of a saint that they've claimed as their family saint, and they'll celebrate that feast day every year. So, and that's another, once you're invited every year. So we've, with a few families, with one in particular, we've gotten close enough that we're there at all their special days, and we've gotten to be there for weddings and the christening of their daughter, and it's been really special to just kind of be in. We have them over, that same family, we have them over for Thanksgiving every year, and it's great because they think all the traditional Thanksgiving recipes, they think I made them up. So they're like, they think they're like, you know, an us specialty, which they're not.
And we wanted to talk just quick, too, about relationships in this culture. It's very familial-based. A lot of families still live together all in one house. So this is a very different world. So you get married, you move in with, usually it's the guy's parents. You'd be living with them, early marriage, and you stay with them for the rest of your life. And you have kids, and you're all under one roof. And so there's a lot of family tension at times. I'm sure there's none of that here, but there is over there a bunch, and so a lot of counseling relationships, we would talk through those kind of issues a lot. They come up quite a bunch. But the interesting thing is that once you're in, Kayla was saying, once you're in, especially in a spiritual relationship with one member of a family, the gospel can go through that entire family, and one by one, they kind of fall before the Lord, which is pretty amazing to watch happen. We'll tell another story about that later, so. If we can go to the next slide. Thanks, guys. So here's some folks that we know. This is me actually with an Albanian friend. We mainly work with Macedonians, but I put on my white shirt to match with this guy, and he's a good friend of mine. So he's from a Muslim background, and we've read through parts of the Old Testament together leading to Jesus, and that's what we're trying to do, walk through the Old Testament. He's a good guy. And I'll tell you about the bottom middle picture is our oldest son in the middle, and then he's got two friends from his Macedonian-speaking public school that he goes to. So these are some friends of his that he's made, which is really cool.
Yeah, on the bottom left, we have our kid's favorite preschool teacher. So this was at our third child, our daughter's kind of kindergarten graduation. But our kids have been in Macedonian kind of kindergarten, preschool, you know, the system's a little bit different, but they were able to go to a private Macedonian-speaking preschool that was small, and they all kind of got to be in the same class, which was really a good transition for them. They had enough language then that so far, you know, three of them have gone into Macedonian elementary school. We plan to probably homeschool within the next couple years, but they're getting a foundation in language that we couldn't have given them any other way. And because of the way our neighborhood is, we've been in the same neighborhood for 6 years now. We've lived in three different apartments, but all in the same neighborhood. Our kids can walk to school. We recognize people on the streets. We have neighbor kids in our house. This is Nora with a neighbor girl at our house. They were making pretzels. And we just feel like we belong in the community, which has been really a gift for our kids, for a sense of normalcy. None of them really have clear memories of living in the States, and our fourth was born in Skopje. So, we're thankful to have been around long enough to kind of get to know people and belong. And then up at the top there, that's me with Snezhana, who actually helped babysit our kids when we were first there. We were in language school, and that's the family that we're probably closest to now. Like, all layers of the family, we know. Should I just right there talking about? Okay, we'll come back to them.
All right, we'll go to the next slide. And we wanted to show a few more pictures. This is our daughter with a girl from our church as well. They're hanging out together. And then the bottom right-hand picture is a special one. This is actually the church body that we share life with in Skopje. They're evangelical believers, all of them. But as you see some of them over to the right, these are Roma on the right-hand side. And then on the left would be more the Macedonians. But it's a small church. This isn't everybody, but this is kind of the core group of our church. Overall, in our capital city of about 1 million people, there's less than 10 evangelical churches, and most of those are composed of about 30 to 40 people. So it's really a small group of people. And we'll talk a little bit more about this, but the Orthodox population, so they're Eastern Orthodox by background, But most have never read the Bible. Most really don't have any understanding of what their faith is all about. And they would really look at evangelicals and our church also as cults. So this can create problems for the believers. So for instance, Nora's friend right here, her father actually divorced her mother when her mom became a believing Christian. When she started reading the Bible regularly, attending a church, and professing faith in Jesus, her husband was done, walked away. So this is a serious thing. It's a hard life for a lot of these folks. And so our role is oftentimes coming along and supporting our local church in whatever way that we can be blessed to do that. But then I wanted to just tell, this is a really cool story, the top right-hand side, the middle guy right there, his name is Dragan, and over on the far right is his sister Maria. They're actually twins. They're 19 now. I started teaching them English when we first arrived in Macedonia, and a few years later, we were able to go through what's called an Alpha course. I don't know if you've heard of this before, but it's like an introduction to God, Christianity, and it's for teens, for young people, and currently, we are blessed to see Maria openly talking about wanting to follow Jesus. And Dragan, we had this picture. It was a really cool kind of schematic of different cartoon characters kind of around a swimming pool. And different people are doing different things. One guy's swimming, doing laps. Another person is dipping their toes in the water. Another person's leaving the pool. Tons of people in this picture. And they ask them to identify where they're at in their spiritual journey. Who are you in this picture? If a pool is a relationship with Christ, I'm sorry. And where are you at? What are you doing? Who are you in this picture? And I forget what everybody else said, but Dragan, the middle guy here, was very skeptical about anything we were talking about when we first started. This was about 6 weeks into this. And he's like, you know, when we first did this, I wasn't really that interested. I just came because of you, Jonathan. But I kind of think I'm the guy with his toes in the water. I want to hear more. And we're just really blessed because, again, the mom from the last slide, the one who is our babysitter, that's their mom. And anyway, again, when you're in with a family, you're in, and we're seeing faith spread with this family. It's pretty cool. All right, next slide. We'll keep it moving. Sorry, guys.
Okay. This kind of infographic always gets me. So if you look on the left shoulder of the first guy, you can see that just a tiny little bit is shaded. That's the percentage of believers in Macedonia, 0.2%. So it's helpful for us to kind of go back and remember just the great need that's in Macedonia when things are tough for us. To remember that that's why we're there. Not only do most people not know Christ, most people don't know a believer, have never met anyone who actually follows Christ. And they have Orthodox backgrounds, so there's things we can use to connect. Like they'll celebrate Easter, they'll celebrate Christmas. But we've kind of been blown away at times to realize how little they know about even what they claim to be celebrating or to be believing. We had teammates who, when we first arrived, told us a story. They had been working with students, with young people, and they decided to have kind of an outreach around Easter. And they used, maybe you've seen the little resurrection eggs that you pop open, the little plastic egg, and there's a symbol about the Easter story in each egg, and you can use that to tell the story. So they used those, they gave everybody an egg, and they went around the circle, and not a single person had any association with any of it, even the cross. They know that's a symbol of Christianity, but they can't tell you why, which is pretty staggering. They said at the very final, you know, egg is empty, right, for the empty tomb, and they had a guy, they said there was this realization on his face. He goes, this is a movie. Like, so that's kind of the level of kind of biblical literacy, you know, we're working with. And it's been difficult to get to the point of reading the Bible with people, but really a joy to get to see people kind of experience what God's word actually says for the first time.
We can go to the next slide. Thanks, guys. And so part of what we're doing is asking this question, how do we reach a country of 2 million people where hardly anybody really has any idea of, there's a huge cross up on the mountain, but no one even really knows that, okay, cross equals Christianity, sure, but what does that mean? What does it mean for you personally? Most people don't know. Most people don't stop and think about it. So how are we going to reach 2 million people? Well, it's not going to be us, for sure, not just us. It's going to be God moving. But we've taken some time and thought, well, what are we doing and how are we going to do it and what's effective and what's not? And we can go to the next slide, actually, for this. Here's some more pictures. We were really inspired by a couple verses from the New Testament, and this kind of sums it up. We are very normal people, very normal missionaries. We're not super people at all. But we really love what Paul does here in the book of Acts. It says, he took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. I was blown away by that because looking this up, there were about 2 million people that lived in the province of Asia. It's like basically the country of Turkey now is what used to be Asia at that time. And just from him teaching each day in the hall of Tyrannus, everybody in that region heard. And I thought, well, there's no way that not every single person came through his hall. What is he doing? Well, he's probably sending people back out. He's training and sending people from those places. Hey, you're from this city. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to train you for a bit, and we're going to send you back out to where you come from. And we see this as kind of our role as well. You can actually go to the next slide. We see ourselves as having a ministry of passing on to people who are reliable, who can then go and tell others about Jesus. So this is also from Paul. He writes in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to go and teach others. And so we're definitely involved in evangelism, but it's hard as Americans sometimes. Macedonians will look at us and say, you're foreigners. And again, that coconut thing going on where we're not fully in at times. They love to talk to us as Americans, but it almost gets to be a distraction. And so we see a lot of our role as teaching other Macedonians. So this is my friend Daniel. He comes to church with us. I've had a really great discipling relationship with him. So when we first got to Skopje, he had just led his friend to the Lord. His friend came into the church, got baptized as an evangelical believer, started following God. And we were meeting him, me, and this other guy, Ilya, which is Elijah in Macedonia. We were meeting every week and talking about how can we share our faith with other people. And I was really trying to inspire him. And Ilya was like, well, my sister doesn't know the Lord. I don't know. She's never going to come around to Jesus. She's just not going to do that. We're like, well, let's pray for her and see where this goes. So we were praying for her, and we were encouraging him to keep sharing his faith. Well, less than a year later, she comes to a Christian camp with him, with me, with Daniel as well. And during that time, it's kind of a process, but during that time, she starts following Jesus as well. And she comes into the same group with us. And so we're like, well, who can Jovana tell about, you know, Jesus? And her parents have just recently, in the past few months, made a profession to follow Jesus. And through the whole family, yeah, it's a huge praise. And
I always want to talk about their baptisms, because we were there for the baptism of Ilya. Ilya didn't even tell his family he was getting baptized. He was nervous that, you know, there would be lashback. When Jovana got baptized, she invited her parents. They came into our church. They were there for the whole service. They heard. And then later, they were part of an adult, you know, alpha course at another church. So they came in. And she told me later, I feel so bad. We have no pictures of Ilya's baptism. You know, none of us were there. And I had pictures I was able to give her. But just as their confidence has grown as more and more the family is coming to Christ. And actually, I'll just keep talking. But Jovan herself, even more than her brother, has kind of come back and changed our church. It's been kind of on her initiative that the church got started back with a Thursday night prayer meeting that's been an encouragement to everybody. But it's kind of her, like, just excitement, and it's been encouraging and I think convicting even to some people in our church who've been there a lot longer.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. And I was going to say, sisters can be braver than brothers. That's for true. I know that in my life as well. I don't know about y'all, but all right, next slide, if you can. So what we're seeing here, and I was just going to talk about this a little more, because this really impressed upon me hugely in the way I think about ministry is, because I can get this sense as a foreign missionary that I got to do a lot of stuff. I got to be everywhere. I got to do everything. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but it's not really that way in Scripture. Paul passes on his ministry, his life, to certain people, right? He passes it on to Timothy, passes it on to Silas, Priscilla and Aquila. You see these kind of main people around him. Now, he did influence a lot of people, but in this verse we're seeing, he's saying, go, don't just, it's not stopping with Timothy, it's not stopping with Silas. Go and take it to other people, to reliable people you can trust who can then pass it on to others. This is how the faith is spreading. We can go to the next slide. So what we've done in our lives, I like writing this out because it helps me pray for other people and it helps me focus. I would encourage y'all. It's really easy to do. It doesn't take very long. I just put myself, you put yourself right in the middle and you draw a circle around your name. So I'm John here. And I wrote down at this point, this was several years ago. This is kind of an old one now, but people that I was close to who were believing or actually unbelieving. So if they have a cross next to their name, they're following Jesus. And if they don't, these were a few people that I was close to that weren't following Jesus. So Ilya, this would be the brother of Yovana, who came to faith, and now her parents are following Jesus. So this is, I guess, a few years ago. But Ilya also knows Christian, so we were praying for Christian for a while. And now I'm friends with Daniel, and he's a believer. And he has a brother named Dennis, who had a girlfriend at that point whose name was Nese. Daniel got married to Ivana. She's following the Lord, but her family isn't. So we pray for them. And it's just a great way to map out your relationships and then be accountable to praying and kind of following up with people sometimes too. And you can see here that I have some unbelievers here. Tomislav, we call him Tome. I was reading through the Bible with him for a long time. You can pray for Tome. We were reading the Bible one time. We were on Genesis chapter 3 about the fall of man. And he started crying in front of me. Macedonian men never cry. I've never seen another Macedonian man cry in 7 years. But he cried while we were reading Genesis 3 and said, I've done a lot of things wrong. And it wasn't too long after that he started not talking to me. And I think this kind of, it got a little too personal, a little too quick maybe. And we haven't really heard from him in about 2 years now. You can pray for him. God was really, really working on him. And we don't want Satan to cut that off. So that's Tome. We were reading the Bible with Hannes and Gordana, some friends of ours. He's actually Austrian and she's Macedonian. But you can see how this kind of works. And we kind of, there's a chain reaction that we really, really like to see here. I guess we can go to the next slide. Oh, and one other thing too, not to give you a bunch of like random stuff, but one way I love to think about people too, so all those friends, I put them in different places on this map. And so different relationships start, usually they start casually. We talk about soccer, we talk about politics. Is a very casual conversation in Macedonia, maybe not here, but we put them in the casual box and then I try to move them up to meaningful. Where are you from? What are your parents like? What are you living for? Why are you doing this? And then we try to get those into spiritual conversations. Why do you go to church and light a candle? What does this mean to you? What does Christmas morning mean to you? All these different kinds of things. And for Macedonians, because they are Orthodox Christian background, we try to get them into the Bible as soon as possible. And to just open the page, we don't try to tell them what to think, but we read through the big stories of the Bible, usually starting with Adam and Eve and working our way up to Jesus, to give them a sense of what their faith is about. So that's what we're doing, and we kind of pray people through this path towards Jesus. Next slide.
Okay, we have a couple different presentations. I don't know which one we're doing right here, but you can see Jonathan preaching. That happened for the first time this year. He preached in Macedonian. Our church is fully in Macedonian. We kind of entered the door when we first arrived and we're like, we don't know if they're, you know, cool or not, so because we couldn't understand anything, but they are. It was God was directing our steps. It's been a really good place for us in our little church. And I think over even especially the last couple years, this sort of last term, it's been kind of the COVID years and beyond, we've kind of had the privilege to suffer alongside our church too. In the past 2 years, in a group of, okay, like 40, if everybody's, you know, extended family comes, you know, it's really a smaller core group than that. We've had 5 funerals. 3 of those could be chalked up to medical negligence or just poor care, which is kind of hard to grapple with. So a lot of our ministry has been living life with the people of our church and listening to stories. In a kind of post-communist culture that everybody suffered a lot. They have memory of war not too long ago. There was a really terrible earthquake that kind of leveled, 60% of the city. in the 60s as well. People have memories of that. And people who have suffered a lot without Christ, in our experience, are not compassionate people. They're hardened to each other's needs. It's like, well, what do you have to complain about? I had it harder than you. That's kind of what breeds when you don't have, you know, Christ with you in the suffering. So we've had a chance to just kind of listen to people and take them seriously, and we feel like that's been part of our role these last years. Here's some kids from our church. It's a small group, so they are four kids plus two other little girls, and there's a few more starting to come now. And that's been special because there are very few people in Macedonia who have grown up in church hearing Bible stories and singing songs to God. So it's special that our kids get to be part of that. And this picture was already there, but that was at, our younger pastor got married this summer, and that was just a really special time for the church.
All right. I think last slide here, maybe last two. Thank you for, I wanted to just say thank you to the church, just up in front of everybody, for your support over the past several years. Thank you so much. And this is a receipt, so you can see our expenses. No, just joking. But it's kind of fun in a different currency, right? So this was just like a, I don't remember what we were buying. I see suvo grozje, so that's what is that? Grapes. Oh, raisins, right, raisins. And that came to 4,691 denars. So that's this grocery bill was like $20. I don't know what that was. That's $20, basically. So we didn't spend that much, but just thank you. Those expenses add up, and as missionaries, we always have. We incur different kinds of fees, visa fees along the way that, you know, normal people don't have necessarily, and it's just, it can be expensive. Thank you all to the church and for praying for us as well. I was going to say one thing. If you would like to receive, we usually send out a newsletter every 3 months. If you would like to receive that directly to your inbox, just write your email address down on a little slip of paper. There's no pressure to, but if you're interested in getting more cute kid photos along the way, here's our daughter. Why not? I think maybe one more slide. Thanks. Yeah. So this is just a thank you again for praying for us. Here's some more cool photos. This is like a big zoomed out photo of our city. And more kids right there. So on that note, I think we're done. That was not 25 minutes.
So I got a couple of thoughts. When do I not? But I remember you said you guys went there 6.5 years ago. So there were 12? Is that about right?
I think so, yeah.
I needed that for the visual, so.
My beard came in this week.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for being young missionaries and being our missionaries and for the work you do. I want to say, if you're awkward, you don't need to stay up here at this point. But I want to say what you said. I feel it is very practical for us. I think really very, very helpful. I think in many times we overthink what a missionary does, or it's just nebulous, it's a little bit cloudy. At the same time, we are intimidated about reaching out to people who are around us. And I go, this is exactly the work of God and the people of God wherever we are. I was struck by a couple of things. Reading the Bible together. Let the Word of God do the work that you're afraid to do, right? It is relationship building more than anything, personal evangelism. It's not about having a confrontation with somebody, you know, turn or burn, repent or die. You have a heart because people do die. You have a heart because people are far away from God. But the engagement is, let's have coffee. Let's build a little relationship. You've heard it over and over and over in different locations, different opportunities, different situations. People will tell you that people don't care how much you know until they are aware of how much you care. And so evangelism is, in my mind, I said this, being who you are, you love the Lord, right? Being who you are, one who loves the Lord, wherever you are, with the people who are around you. That's what mission work is. And the scripture we started out this morning service was Psalm 97:1. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coast, and islands, be glad. Mission exists because people are absent the gladness that God brings. In Macedonia, 1,996,000 of the 2 million people do not know the gladness that God brings. That's why Jonathan and Kayla are there. There are people in your life who don't know the gladness that God brings. And that's simply why you want to do everything you can. Lord, help me to be a good friend and be who I am, one who loves you, one who knows the gladness that God brings around the people who are near me, wherever I am, at all times. If you love the Lord, that's all witness is. That's all it is. We overthink it. We get intimidated by it. I have a book from Bible college that I have not read in decades, because I'm old enough to be decades and decades and decades out of Bible college. I read it once. I thought it was fine. But, you know, sometimes all you need is the title of a book. I have books that I've never read because the title's too good. I don't want to ruin it. Don't Let the Jerks Get You Down. Never read it. Good word. Preaching Grace. Enough said. Dick Hines wrote a book, I Hate Witnessing. He said, everybody I know hates to witness, but everybody who loves the Lord loves to talk about him. And then the last thing that I just want to say, that really struck me as a point for starting. John was walking through his Oikos group web, and I guess it was the brother was talking about his sister who's never going to come to the Lord. Brother was talking about the sister never come to the Lord, right? So, well, we can pray for her, right? Is there anybody in your life who you desire to see the Lord? You don't know where to start? You can pray for them. Let's pray for their salvation. So as we go to our time of closing worship, I'm going to sing Waymaker. He's made a way here. He makes a way in our life. And then I want to say we're going to close on Lord, I Need You, which really feels like the song they sang. And so as you are identifying in your life some areas, well, Lord, I want you to help move me to be your hands of love extended to people who don't know the gladness that you bring. Would you make a way for me to be your hands of extending gladness? Because missions exist because people aren't glad in the Lord. We evangelize because there are people who are absent the gladness that the Lord brings. And then we will end simply recognizing this. It doesn't matter the skill set we bring to the table. If the Lord is with us, he will accomplish his purposes to us. So Lord, would you make a way? And did you remind me that I need you because you are the way to reaching this world with love? Amen.